Okay, good morning everybody. We are starting a new book, Sefer Dvarim. Sefer Dvarim is also called Mishneh Torah. And also the beginning is a little problematic. Why? He's writing, Ele hadvarim asher diber Moshe el kol Yisrael bevarad. Those are the things that Moshe Rabbeinu is talking to Am Yisrael. Or Chaim HaKadosh says, Ele, there is no Vav. It's not end. Normally all the books says Vayikra, and there are a lot of Vavim in the Bible. So he says, this is a special thing. This is a special book. It's separated from the other four. And Or Chaim HaKadosh says that this book was written by Moshe Rabbeinu. And this is a little absurd, because we all know that even if somebody says one pasuk, even one letter is not from God in the Torah, is a kofer. So how is it possible? There are a lot of explanation about what's going on here. The explanation I like is very simple. Moshe Rabbeinu got to a level that nobody else could get. God himself is saying, Pe el pe adaber bo. Mouth to mouth, I will talk. Mouth to mouth, mouth to ear. You talk to the ear, you don't talk to the mouth. The idea is that what Moshe Rabbeinu is talking is really God's talking. In other words, Moshe Rabbeinu at a certain time, and this time, got to a level that God is really talking through him. Or let's put it in a normal way to understand what it's all about. See, the idea is very simple. When we... 1 minute... When we, what were we talking about?
God is talking through Moshe.
Yeah. Now, when we say this, what really do we mean in our language? Yes. Mouth. Yeah. What do we really mean? The idea is that Moshe Rabbeinu got to a level that he was so close to God and so connected that everything that he's doing is really doing what God wants him to do. For example, our sages say that Avraham Avinu kept the Torah. How did Avraham Avinu kept the Torah if the Torah was not given yet? So, what's the idea? It says, Avraham Avinu was called Avraham Oavi. Avraham, my love, my lover. Avraham Oavi. This is, what's the meaning? I don't know if you feel, you know, when we love somebody very much, sometimes we don't have to speak. We feel what he wants. Because we know him so good and we love him so much that we feel what he wants. He doesn't have to talk. And sometimes my wife says, why don't you talk? Says, we love ourselves. We are so loving that we don't need to talk. We're connected without talking. And you know, it's funny, but it's true. And Avraham Avinu got to a level that his love to God was so great that he was connected to God, so he knew what God wants him to do. You see, because the Torah, what we read it like stories. It's not stories. It's a lot of secrets in it. There is a lot of meaning in it. So the idea is that when you get to a level of loving, really loving God, you feel what is right to do. In other words, Avraham kept the Torah because he felt it. He felt it. He felt what he should do. And that's like Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu, now at this level, is getting to a level that he feels God. In other words, he's talking Torah. What is Torah? Torah is God's words. So there are a lot of other things. Why here and why now? And one of the ideas also, here we are on the stage of going into Eretz Yisrael. So if we look through Sefer Dvarim, we will find out a lot of reputation, like things that we already learned about in the past, but we're talking about them again. And a lot of, maybe a few new things. But the idea is that this is really the book that is very crucial for us before we get into Eretz Israel. Because this gives us the tools and all the mitzvahs that are connecting us to Eretz Israel, to the Torah, and to God. To get to this final tikkun, to the final thing that is the connection, which is one, Am Israel, Torah Israel, the Torah, and the Kodesh Baruch Hu. This is one. We are one with the Kodesh Baruch Hu. So ele advarim asher diber Moshe is telling us that Moshe Rabbeinu now is at a very, very high level. And there are a lot of beautiful things here, and one of the things is that he is really rebuking Am Yisrael. And some is with clues, and some is very direct. So if we're talking about clues, why do we use clues, or why do we use a direct language? For example, when we're talking here about Be'ever HaYarden, Bamidbar, Ba'arava, Mul Suf, Mul Paran, and all those names, when we look backwards, we don't find those names. So one of the explanations is that those names are really not exactly places, or they are places, but they are called in a different way in order to mention in a clue things that we did at that time in the this place. For example, Dizahav, the gold. What's gold? What is reminding you? The golden calf.
Yeah.
The sin of the golden calf.
Yeah.
And then, why is he using clues and not talking directly? So a lot of explanation. One of the Rashi, I think, brings it. It's very interesting. He says, somebody went with his rabbi. We're walking, going around, and they saw something shining on the floor. So he picked it up, and it was fire. It was a, how do you call, coal with fire?
Coal.
How do you call coal with when it's lit?
No.
Not ashes, no, with the fire coal. In.
It's
is there a special name?
No, it's the burning coal.
A burning coal. So he thought it's a diamond or something. Or gold.
He said amber.
Amber. So he picked it up and he burned himself. The next day they're going around and there is a diamond on the floor. But he doesn't pick it up. So his rabbi says, why don't you pick it up? He says, yesterday I picked it up and you see what happened. So what they say is, somebody who burns himself with boiling water, he even if the water is doesn't look boiling, he is very careful about it. In other words, when Moshe Rabbeinu in the past said something about Am Yisrael, he was punished. On Mei Merivah, he says, why do you ask this? So now he's talking very carefully, but it's not exactly why. Because 2 seconds later, he is really literally talking very directly to Am Yisrael. And he's talking about the sin of the Meraglim, for example. And it's being brought us in a lot of details and really is talking to them directly. This is a direct rebuke. So what is the Torah trying to tell us? So first of all, before we go into the direct rebuke, which is we'll learn a few new things about something that happened in the past, sometimes when we want to pass something, we don't talk directly. We try to bring it in a soft way. Because if we talk directly, the guy will get maybe insulted and the result will be doing nothing. For example, Shlomo HaMelech says, Ochach lechacham veyoavecha, rebuke a clever guy and he will love you. Al tochach letz penisnaecha. Don't rebuke a clown because he's going to hate you. So we think we're talking here about two people. But the real truth is we're talking about the same person. If you come to rebuke somebody, for example, you are standing in a place where there is a line. And you know in Israel, there is a line and there are those who go around the line.
Especially in that middle class.
Everywhere we can see it. So now, it's wrong. Now, how are you going to approach him? How are you going to tell him, why did you do this? Don't you see there is a line here? What is he going to answer you? You know, somebody in our shul was telling off to a few adults, not kids, that were talking on the backside of the shul. You know what they did to him? They put their tongue out to him. He was like he was in a shock when he came to me and said, you know what happened just now? In other words, this is a clown. Who did it? Who did it? Who caused this guy to behave like a clown? We. If you attack him directly, he will immediately defend himself. Or he's going to give you, let's say, something back. And sometimes it's not going to be so nice. So what do? You do it in a nice way. It always says, look, you see people here are standing. for a long time. Some of them are ill, some of them are old, some of them have a problem. And no, it's not so nice. You know, you look like a nice guy. Why do you do this? It's not nice. Now, what do you think this guy is going to do now? I touched him. It's like, I'll tell you another story. We had, me and a friend, we used to have the same yahrzeit on the same day. And he used to daven very quickly. And one day, sorry, he's a different of a day, I think. One day a year, he came to shul, says, and he like says, oh, today it's going to go quickly, because he was davening very quick. So what did I tell him? He said, you're davening for me? You're davening for your father, for his neshama. And you know, it got into him, and the tefillah was Baruch Hashem. In other words, it depends how you approach people. And that's what Shlomo HaMelech is saying. Ochach lechacham v'yoavecha. When you rebuke somebody, do it. Make him good. Make him feel good. Make him great. Make him clever. And then when you do it this way, he will listen. But if you attack him directly, if you are talking like directly, you are making him behave like a clown. Instead of having a good, positive influence on him, you're doing the positive. And each time we do this, we have to remember, rebuking somebody is not a mitzvah ben Adam l'makom. It's not a mitzvah between us and God. It's mitzvah sheben Adam lechavero. It's a mitzvah between us, human beings. And if we think about it, we will realize that we have to do it in a different way. But sometimes, as we say, ochach lechacham v'yavecha, there's another explanation. There are people that are very clever and they're very righteous and they're good people. And they don't like you go around the bush. Tell me exactly what the problem is and I will fix it. So in other words, sometimes you have to talk directly. We have to work through our mind when to talk with clues, like Moshe Rabbeinu is teaching us. And sometimes you have to talk directly, because if you don't talk directly, nobody will understand what you want. In other words, for example, what's going on here with the Meraglim? If you remember, when we were reading the Meraglim story last time, it looked like that the Meraglim are holy people, and the mission was given by God to Moshe Rabbeinu to send the Meraglim, if you remember. But here it looks all different. Here it looks Let's find it, 1 minute. Vatikrevun elai kulchem. And you all came to me. And Rashi is explaining, what's you all came to me? All. The old are being pushed by the young, the clever people, the wisdom, the rabbis are being pushed by those who know nothing. Like in a whole balagan. So it's already starting. Vayachperu lanu ta'aretz. Send people to dig the land for us. Like, this is not to tour the land, not tourists, but spies. In other words, they want Moshe Rabbeinu to send special people to check what's going on, or otherwise, it's already starting badly, because they're really looking for a reason not to go in. One of the amazing things here that we have to talk about is, Rav Zalman Sorotkin writes about it, a beautiful thing. We are now in the 3 weeks. And it all started at that moment when they were crying about going into Eretz Israel. And nevertheless, they also say, "V'sinat Hashem otanu," in the hatred of God, He brought us here. And this is the base of Sinat Chinam. How dare you talk like this to God, who gave you everything, took you out of Egypt, did you all those miracles? This is Sinat Chinam. And this is when the seed of the destruction of the temple started. Why was the temple destroyed? Because of Sinat Chinam. And it started here. The Sinat Chinam. And this is a very special period of time that we have to be very careful. Because Midat HaDin, the judgment is on us now. Because of בשנאת השם אותנו, because we started it. And we have to understand and realize, as long as the Bet HaMikdash is not being built again, who is to blame?
We are.
You cannot throw it, we've got nothing to do with it. It happened a few thousand years ago. We are righteous, we are tzaddikim. It's not, we are mourning about what was. We are mourning that it's not here yet. We're not mourning about something that happened 2,000 years ago. We are mourning about that it's not here being built again. And it's in our power to do it. And how do we do it? With Ahavat Chinam. And now we have to understand something. You know, something is always, you know, sometimes I'm afraid to talk about it. You know, we are changing rules. We are changing attitude. We are changing things because of the modern world. And sometimes maybe we go over the line. For example, I don't know, a friend sent me a few days ago on the Facebook that she got a smicha to Rabbanut. A girl. A woman. A she. I'm sorry. If you ask me, sepastish. I've got no problem with women. And we talked about it a lot. Chas v'sholom. But you know, everybody's got his job. And if your job is not enough, it means that you're not doing your job. Because God gave us the job. And it's very clear when you go back, you know, sometimes people talk about bring proof from the Rambam, from here, from there. And I'm asking a very simple question. Did the Rambam behave like this? So what's your proof? Yes, women can do a lot of things, but they don't have to. Why don't they have to? Why do men have to? Because a man's got a job and a woman's got a job. And if God gave a man a job and a woman a job, he means that they can do the job. If not, he wouldn't give it to them. So if you want another job, it means that you didn't do your job in the right way. But why do I talk about it? Because I saw one of a very nice kehillah in Jerusalem, I'm not going to name, that it was starting with like little things. And it's getting more and more like, you know, when there is a small hall, it gets bigger. You know, I met a girl, a lady in the street, and I was talking about the power of women is an inside power and the power of men is an outside power, etc., etc., etc. And we talked about it, I think, last week about it also. And she thought, what's the problem if a lady is standing and talking in front of men? I says, it depends where, and it depends how she looks, and what is the circumstances. I says, I'm standing, I want to daven, and a woman can distract my mind. He said, so what did she tell me? If a woman distracts your mind, you have to go to a doctor. He says, if a woman wouldn't distract my mind, I would have to go to a doctor. Though, in our new world, there are a lot of strange things happening that maybe a man should turn me on. But, Baruch Hashem, I'm not turned on by men, I'm turned on by women. And God, our sages, knew it. And they knew that there is an influence, and we all know there is an interaction. If there are men and women, there is an interaction. By the way, it's very interesting. If you look with all this feminist movement and everything, if you look at something like when a group of people meet, friends, you will find out very quickly that men sit separately and women separately. Did you check it?
Yeah.
It's happening every time. Why? Where is the feminist movement now? Because women have the way to talk and men have the way to talk. For example, this is a very famous Rav Yisachar Prant. He's from the States. And I had a lecture from him. It's very interesting. One of the things he said, his wife was in very good relationship with her mother-in-law, his mother, which is sometimes rare, but she was in very good relationship. And they went to a wedding, and then every morning used to phone his mother and talk with her. So his mother asked him, how was the wedding? He says, very nice. How was the food? Very nice. And how was everybody clothes? Was it nice clothes? Very nice. So, okay, give me your wife. So then, every question she asked, half an hour on the phone. The wedding, unbelievable. And you know this, what she was wearing this and the other ones were wearing this. That's women talk. And this is men talk. What can we do? Men look at things at the outside. They don't go into details. And women go in inside, go into the details. And it's the effect of life. Anyway, sometimes, of course, there are There is the klal, there is the general speaking, and there are exceptions. It's happened everywhere. You know, the daughters of Rashi, they were big chachamot, and we have Miriam Hanevi'ah, and we have Dvorah Hanevi'ah. We have those things. There's no problem with it. But the thing is that our sages put us a line to go. And the line is for us, generally speaking, for simple people, to go in this line, because this way we don't go into problems. Even if it's allowed. For example, somebody was talking a few weeks ago in our shul about all the things that you can do in Shabbos today with all the technology, all the new technology, and said, like, those doors who opened, they found out that it's not no problem on Shabbos, and this is no problem on Shabbos, this is no problem. And I was thinking to myself, one minute. Now, if I want, I can make Shabbos as every day. In other words, there won't be any difference between Shabbos and Sunday and Monday and Tuesday. So is this the spirit of the halacha? Is this what God wants us? No. He wants us to have Shabbos like Sunday, Monday, Tuesday? Of course not. This is what they call uvda dechol. The whole idea of Shabbos is that we don't behave on Shabbos like we behave in the normal days. In other words, even if halachically I can find that it is allowed, sometimes I have to think, it's allowed, okay, but maybe it's not suitable. Sebastnish. Sebastnish. That's not Shabbos. You want to lose the spirit of Shabbos? Okay, you can find everything to do. You can everything do on Shabbos. So what do? You know, we're talking about Moshe Rabbeinu now being so close to God that he's really talking, God is talking through him. So, in other words, the leaders, they are the ones who are supposed to tell us what to do. And this is a big question. Who is the right leader? Who do we listen to? A few weeks ago, there was in London the Rav Dueck, I think, the Spanish rabbi, the Sfaradi rabbi. He was talking about the homosexual in a very favorite way. And of course, as an Orthodox rabbi, everybody jumped. And the chief rabbi of London was being asked by the Rav Lau from here to talk with him and find a way. And, you know, where is the limit? Where is the gvul? That's what I'm asking myself. I'm not saying, we all have mind, we have around seichel to think. I'm not saying do this or do that, what's right and what's wrong. I'm just giving you something to think about. What is right and what is wrong? And you know, the Rav Dessler says, it's very simple. You have to listen to your heart. Because each one has got nekudat ha'emet, the point of truth inside. And you know, you're going to do something, think. Is God going to love what I'm doing or not? And if you think that God is going to love it, do it. But if you think that God is not going to love it, don't do it. It's a very complicated issue. And that's why I'm very careful every time that I'm talking about, because it's getting everywhere. You know, when you talk about things that were 50 years ago normal, today they're not normal. And what was not normal 50 years ago, today is 100% normal. For example, Mitzad HaGaava, this pride parade. Well, did you see how it looks? People half naked. Is this is being proud? This is what we want our children to see? And they call it Mitzad HaGaava and they justify it? I didn't see straight people going Mitzad HaGaava because maybe we have to be ashamed. We have to be ashamed that we're letting those things happen. Somebody told me there was a new shul in Tel Aviv, I think, a homosexual shul. I said, 1 minute, I don't understand. How can it be a homosexual shul? I understand that there are people that have certain problems. They can come and have a normal shul. I've got no problem. I know they have a problem. Okay.
So what?
It's like, let's open a shul for adultery.
Excuse me, there are lots of communities who don't allow them to dominate a shul.
Why?
Because they're homosexuals.
How do they know? That's the point.
Well,
you don't go with a flag and say, I'm a homosexual. The same way as you don't go with a flag and say, I slept with my friend's wife.
So in other words, if they don't tell, it's okay that they don't.
It's not, okay, let's start to say, the Torah is telling us directly that we're not allowed to do it. Okay? It's written in the Torah? It's written. Now, we understand that there is a problem. So what do we do? How do we deal with the problem? So through the whole generation, we dealt with the problem with no problem. In other words, the problem was at the side. And if somebody had a problem, he was not exactly being proud with the problem, but he was acting accordingly in what we can do. You know, we cannot make what's wrong right if it's wrong. We can try and deal with it. But to make people be proud of something that is wrong, it's wrong. I must tell you, I went through a lot in life. And years ago, I went to one of those bars of homosexuals. And I realized that not everybody there was homosexual. There were a lot of people there that were not, they were really looking for something, seeking. In other words, they didn't have it in them, but it was in. There was why not? Let's try it. So if you allow it, and then if you make it, let's say not only allow, you make it, you be proud with it. So what's the next stage? That all the normal people will be not normal, and the not normal will be normal. Because what is normal?
That homosexuals are not normal. Is that what you're saying?
Yes. Yes.
Yes, that's what you're saying.
It's forbidden.
It's forbidden. I say it happens, because otherwise the Torah wouldn't talk about it. The Torah talks only about things that exist. If it wouldn't exist, the Torah wouldn't talk about it. Okay, so the Torah says...
There are very many facts since the Torah was written.
We believe that the Torah is eternity. That's what we believe. Yeah, now, if we try and change the Torah...
Nothing changes.
All the changes are in the Torah. So if I want to look for the solution, where do I look? In the Torah. Torah. Who do I ask? The rabbi. Now, you tell me. I've got a desire to go with a man. Okay? I'm a man. So, what do you want to tell me? That I'm allowed to do it? Or I'm not allowed to do it?
You're not supposed to.
That's the question.
To.
I'm not supposed to do it according to the Torah. Wait, I want to do it.
Okay.
Am I allowed to do it or not?
But this is not a choice.
Oh, one minute. Let's another step. I have a lust to my friend's wife. Can I sleep with her or not?
No, you can't.
Why not?
Because.
I want to. I've got a lust.
No,
I cannot be with one wife.
That's a
I cannot be with one woman.
You make. That's a choice that you
What
make.
Is the choice I made?
That you want to sleep with your wife, with your friend's wife or whatever. That's a choice.
200 years ago, I could have taken 100 wives. What's the problem? As a man, I could take 20 wives.
You're missing the point.
What's the point?
The point is, if somebody wants to sleep with somebody else's wife,
yes.
That's a choice they make. When somebody is homosexual, they were born that way.
No, why? No, it's the same thing. I want to sleep with a woman. I have a desire. As the same as this guy has a desire for another man, I have a desire for another woman. Well, what's the problem with it?
I think it's different.
What is different? Tell me. No, what is different? You see, God is telling us you have desires and you have to fight them. That's our fight. I'm not saying that it doesn't exist. You have to understand the difference. Think about it like this. I have a desire and God tells me you're not allowed to do it. We have Yetzer Hara. I just took this as an example. It can be a lot of things. I want to eat. I'm diabetic, but I want to eat this cake which is full with sugar. Am I allowed to eat it or not? Yes. I want to eat it.
Okay.
So I have to fight the Yetzer Hara not to eat it.
Let me just tell you.
Yes.
I saw a film many years ago about a group of very religious young people who were homosexual. And they went to their rabbis who told them to go to psychiatrists.
Okay.
Okay. They were not allowed into the shul anymore. Is that what God wanted?
No.
Okay.
No. No. That's not what I'm talking about.
It didn't come from God.
That's not what I'm talking about. You see, that's what I'm saying. That we have to be very careful when we talk about it. Because from one side we have reality. And from the other side we have the Torah, which is trying to teach us how to go. Now, we have Yetzer Hara. Yetzer Hara is not only in who do I want to sleep with. Yetzer Hara is in a lot of things, in everything. So God gives us tools to fight it. God doesn't tell us you're allowed to do whatever you want. In other words, if God gave this person this lust to the man, to like men, God wants him to fight at this point. That's why he made him like this. He has the fight. Now, if he succeeded or doesn't succeed, it's a different problem. The idea is very simple. Do we all keep all the mitzvahs?
Okay, listen, we can't agree to not agree.
Yeah,
if you want to sleep with another man's wife, you're offending the other man.
Why? He agrees. There is, you know what? Open marriage? Open marriage. No, today you have open marriage. Yeah, what? So if there is, if we both agree, we do a, how do you call it? Sharing couples? How do they call it?
Open marriage.
Open marriage. If this open marriage, it's okay? It's difficult. That's what I'm saying. It's very difficult to talk about it. It's not so simple. It's for us, it's very, very, we, you see, I have friends that are homos and females that are lesbians. I have in the family. I'm living with it, and I'm honoring them, and they're honoring me. But that doesn't make it right or wrong. That's a different issue. You have a problem, okay. So you have to deal with it. But to make the problem right, that's not, that you don't do this. You have to fight. We have Yetzer Hara. So we have to fight Yetzer Hara. So if you have, and you have to understand, if you think those homosexuals who came to the rabbi, this rabbi, by is sorry to tell you, is stupid. Because as I said in the beginning, Ochach lachacham v'yovecha, al tochach litz v'isnecha. If you coming in, you don't know how to deal with it, send them to another rabbi that will know how to deal with those guys. Like to take them out from everything, it's wrong. Because what did you do? You're going to fix something?
It was the saddest movie I ever saw.
Because he didn't fix anything. He just break it. You don't... You see, the idea is drachei adarchei noam v'chol nativotei ha-shalom. We have to find a way, even if sometimes it's very difficult. We have to find it. Unfortunately, we are talking, and it was a very interesting issue, but we're going over time. And I want just in a few minutes, like 3 minutes, to talk about something very interesting. Well, the next day, after the Meraglim decide not to, that we cannot go in, a part of Am Yisrael says we want to go in. And the Torah is using a very interesting thing. Moshe Rabbeinu is telling God is not with you, don't go in. So they go. And what happens to them?
They
get killed. And the Torah is describing it like the a bee like stand them. Kasher ta'asena ha-dvorim v'yaktu etchem b'seir. That the Canaanite that went out all the and fight them, they were like the beasts, they sting you and kill you. But there is a very interesting thing. What? Why a bee? What's the idea with a bee? What happens to a bee after she stings you?
They die.
She dies. So in other words, God wanted to show Am Yisrael a very interesting point. Because now what's happening? The Meraglim said, you cannot go into Eretz Yisrael. Why can't you go into Eretz Yisrael? Because they are tough people, they're going to kill us. And then the next day, a few of the people go, and what's happening to them? They're being killed. So who is right? The Meraglim. So what did God do? I'll show you that it's the God. God decides what's happening. So a bee, after it stings,
dies.
In other words, anybody of those people who touched a Jew from those who went up, he killed him. But a minute later, he was also dead. In other words, God showed them, I told you not to go, so you don't go. If you go, you will see that I control everything. Those who are going to kill you are also going to be killed. And I saw a very interesting thing about it. The bee, let's from the point of view of the bee knows that if she stings this guy, she's going to die. What does this remind you? It happened on Shabbos, Erev Shabbos.
Yeah.
They are willing to kill us, even if it means that they're going to die doing it. Exactly like the bee. They get nothing out of it. That's the hatred that they got to us.
No, they get something out of it. The family gets a lot of money.
Yeah, but them themselves are willing to kill themselves. Aikar, they were going to kill a Jew. And that's also here in this interesting sample to compare what's happening when they went into Eretz Yisrael to... They were killed like the bees were stinging. Be'ezrat Hashem, we should all go in good ways and find the right way.
Amen.
As I said, it's not. Sometimes it's not easy. It's very. But we must not forget, even if we have arguments and even if we disagree on things, we still have to love each other. It doesn't matter what do we do and what do we think and what the other guy thinks. Shkoye.
Thank you.
May I have that for much, please?
Yes. Thank you. Yeah.